one time I was at the MTV Music Awards.
That's great.
And one time I was backstage and Cher's coming off stage, and I had a photo of the Norman Shee photo that is one of my absolute favorites, with the long black hair, and it's a black and white photo, and she's in jeans and black top.
Is this it right here?
Look at that. Yeah!
Oh my God.
Yes. And I wanted her to sign it. I wanted to say I'm the biggest Cher fan, but it came out all backwards. I was like, Cher fan, biggest eye. She said, everybody's a Cher fan.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome aboard Radio Flyer with nonstop service around the world. Heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and now YouTube. Your safety and comfort is important to us, so please direct your attention to your flight team, Freddie Rivera and Michelle Zuno.
Let's take it back to the beautiful market of Riverside, San Bernardino. When I first started at 99.1 KGGI, it was market number 29. And for those who are outside of the radio industry or the radio business, the market numbers is kind of like they position it as like population, how many people are in the city or in the market that are listening and tuning into the radio, and they do it by that, by size. Mm-hmm. New York is number one.
Oh.
Los Angeles is number two, and Chicago is number three. At the time, Riverside San Bernardino was 29, and I believe it's like 25 now, right?
Mm. 25 out of how
grown?
Many?
Yeah, it's grown that fast.
How
yeah.
many altogether?
200. There's over 200 radio markets.
Yeah,
okay,
there's over 200.
Well, that's pretty
yeah.
good.
And obviously, you know, if you're the bigger the market, the more you can charge for commercials and advertising, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
When I was there, it was literally my first on-air radio gig I've ever had in my entire life.
And no, but you were on Rick Deese's show, right?
As an intern, yes. As an
well, intern. So, oh, as a paid.
Yeah.
Paid gig.
Professional. I'm a professional now. They're paying me to do this.
But it was my first, my own radio show. And I got to meet the person who's sitting here for the first time on Radio Flyer.
Yeah, me. Is it me?
Ladies and gentlemen, Jomo.
Yay.
Thank you. The oh my God.
She's like, I'm not worthy.
It's so good to have you here.
Thank you.
You came from Palm Springs today?
No.
Oh, okay.
Well, what's today? Saturday? Yes, I did. Oh, actually, okay. At 5 o'clock this morning, I drove after work, went, I'm staying in Yucaipa.
Okay.
So I'm still in the IE.
Right.
San Bernardino County, biggest county in the United States of America.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Was at one time. Because San Bernardino is my hometown. I take pride in San Bernardino pride. It gets a bad name, gets a bad rap.
Yeah,
nowadays in the news for the wrong reasons.
Right.
My poor hometown. Oh my
but you know what, though? I do see it turning around in the next 10 years.
It is.
Better. Yeah,
it needs to.
It has to, yeah.
So, Jomo, let's start at the beginning, because I know you've been doing radio for a long time, as I have, and we are both very passionate about we've been passionate about radio and music.
Yeah,
we're music junkies.
Totally.
Jomo, where did you grow up at? Where are you from?
My dad was in the Air Force and met my mom when he was stationed in England.
Oh.
Then he got stationed in Germany. And when he was in Germany, my parents decided, let's have children. But my mom couldn't have kids at the time. I think she had a condition where she couldn't have kids. So they decided to have kids. And so she knew a woman who was pregnant but didn't want to keep the baby. So she decided to adopt. They chose me. I was
Aww.
Chosen.
Wow,
so I was
cool.
adopted,
so
in
adopted.
Germany. So born in Germany, mm-hmm. grew up and went to school in England like the first 7 years of my life, which I don't remember very much of it.
Okay.
Mm. You know, because Dr. Oz says things leave your brain so you can make room for new memories. So
right.
I'm always making new memories and forgetting things. I was like, I need to see a picture. That's why I take so many photos, mm-hmm. because if I see a picture, it might spark something in my brain. Then my dad went back to England, and then my parents came over here. He was stationed in Indiana for a while, and they naturalized me there. So I became a U.S. citizen.
Nice. Okay?
Just because you're born to a U.S. citizen, my dad, doesn't mean that you are a U.S. citizen.
So what you're saying is you weren't in England long enough to pick up an accent coming back.
No,
here.
I guess
right,
not.
I noticed.
But my mom always had the English accent because she was from England. And she always, it would come out very predominant when she was mad at me. She'd be yelling at me. I'd be like, I know she's mad because it's really, but she always had it, yeah. And then I guess my dad was stationed back in England and then stationed in San Bernardino. And what he decided to do was go to New Jersey. He bought a car, and then we traveled across the country to come to San Bernardino. I have very few memories of that. So I'd like to do that again. That's on my bucket list. I'm going to travel across the United States, go back to New Jersey.
Yeah.
Wow, so you were like doing a full-on tour.
A world tour. Yeah. My mom was hip and happening, let me tell you. I mean, that's where I get my music. I mean, growing up in the 60s with a mom that loved music, and then the 70s being able to listen to whatever I wanted, I collected almost every Queen album.
Oh, yes.
And, of course, then Cher albums, and then Cher albums.
For those who don't know Jomo, I want to tell you, she has a giant thing for Cher. Right? Sonny and Cher. And I've always known that. As long as I've known Jomo, I've known that as well.
I've traveled the world to see Cher.
Awesome.
Did you hate moving around that much as a kid, or did you enjoy it?
I enjoyed it. I mean, I feel very blessed to be able to have had those opportunities.
Yeah.
As an adult, it must have been, it's probably been 15, 20 years ago, but it was like 40 years after being born there. My mom and I took a vacation. We used to go to England every year to visit my family.
Okay.
My mom's family. Then we would travel somewhere. One year we went to Ireland, and drug my mom around following U2 stuff. Where's every U2 history-making place we can go, Mom?
Yeah, you have to, right? Where did Bono live?
Right.
Right, right. I didn't go where Bono lived, but I think we were in the neighborhood, and we went to a bar that they played in, which was not much bigger than this room. And then I drug her to a Paul McCartney concert, which was amazing.
Ugh, that's awesome.
I bet.
So
that's
awesome.
It was outdoor festival kind of thing.
Isn't it special to kind of to take mom to a concert like that?
Hell yes. I drug her to how many Cher concerts?
So she's as big of a fan as you are now.
Well, kind of, sort of.
How did you end up getting into radio then? So how did that happen?
Well, you know, like many, I grew up listening to radio. When I was a kid, in the 70s, it was AM radio. FM hadn't really struck the nerve of the mass population yet. It was on, it had come on the scene, but moved here in late 60s, and then in the early 70s was in elementary school and would listen to KFXM and K-Men. Those were the two happening top 40 stations. I mean, true top 40, where you would get everything from Led Zeppelin to Marvin Gaye to Earth, Wind & Fire. And ironically, you know, Art LeBeau was really big in radio and on KRLA back in the 70s. But that was an LA station, so I'd never really listened to that. So I wasn't really aware of Art LeBeau until later, like in the 80s, when I started working at the warehouse, which was one of my early jobs.
That's awesome.
Because I wanted to be in music. I'm like, however I can be in music. I don't care.
Yes,
I just want to be
put your
in
fingers on the pulse.
Music.
The warehouse.
I'm going to go work for a record store.
Yeah.
Duh.
I remember the warehouse.
So I made a career. It started as a college part-time job.
Okay.
And college is very important. It was for me in my life because that's where I learned about radio, kind of was forced to do radio. Blazed through that year, got a job running the board for NPR, All Things Considered, running reel-to-reel tapes for local programming.
Those are those big giant wheels you see on like 911 calls, right?
She's dating herself now.
I know, right?
They're reel-to-reel.
No, because it took a special art to learn how to splice and cut those things.
Yes, you used to have to, you could edit, but it would take you forever. Like today, you can do it on VoxPro and go...
Yeah.
Okay, we got our file. But you had to take the tape, you had to mark it, and then listen, you had to mark the beginning and the end, then cut the tape, and then put the pieces together and put a little piece of tape on there, and then you had your audio.
Well, yeah.
That's awesome. So you're getting your hands on the equipment.
I'm doing
the
radio.
Feel of radio now.
And I see in college I met so many people that helped me on my journey to where I am today. And
that's
they're
great.
Still friends. I don't see them every day. I don't talk to them every day, but they're friends that I've had for a long time and still are friends.
That's
kind of like you. We don't talk every day, but I consider you a friend.
Yes, absolutely. Yep, yep. We've known each other for a long time. Yeah, of course.
So, I mean, my God, you invited me to your show, so it must be somebody.
Did you have any program directors that you absolutely loved or hated, early on in the career? I think we've all
we're not putting you on the spot or anything, are we?
The list of the ones I like are far better than the ones I don't like.
Okay, that's
so
good.
You know. because I've worked with so
very lucky to have that
many.
Yes,
I had 2 10-years at 99.1. It was one of my first, as I started to say, college. Not only did I meet Lacey Kendall, but Kelly Kluke, who is was on KCAL for a long time, and before that, she was one of the first staff members of 99.1.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And she did overnights.
Okay.
And she was, I think she was music director or assistant music director.
Okay.
And she ran the research department because back then 99.1 did lots of phone out research.
Gotcha.
So she said, we have a couple of positions for this job. Do you and Lacey want to do this? I'm like, yeah, let's go. So I became part of the first year of the 99.1 team.
Wow.
Which included Brian White, the program director, Bob West. Bob West was probably actually the music director.
What was 99.1 playing at the time when you were when it first started?
Everything. Again, it was probably true top 40.
Okay.
It was 1979.
Okay.
So it was playing some disco.
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
And then whatever, like I can remember, Cliff Roberts was a wild man on the radio. He played when, I'm pretty sure it was Sugar Hill Gang.
Okay.
The Rapper's Delight.
Yeah, yeah.
He played that record all day long.
Yeah.
Over, not just the short version, the radio version, but the long 7-minute version. He played that song over and over and over and over. That was one of the things that 99.1 was able to do, you know, spark the radio audience.
It was always, so it always had kind of like a party feel to it, you know?
Yeah, it was. It was a great, I was a phone research person, but I felt like I'm part of this team because they, back then they had a softball team. So we got to go out and play softball. And one time we all got in the 99.1 van and we went to the Forum and saw a great concert.
That's
I can't
awesome.
Even remember who it was.
Oh, I love that.
You know, so they did things as a team.
Yeah.
And Larry Martino, who was later at 99.1, he was the same kind of way. It was like, this is a team.
Yeah.
And we're all as important as one another. And
but you know, that's how I felt, to be honest with you. When I was at 99.1, it was a family. It was a team. It felt more team than ever. And at any station I've worked at,
and that was under Jesse Durant, right?
It was run like he was like the coach, and
we
were the players.
We were his team. We were his team. I mean, yeah. And I was honored to be part of his genre.
Yeah,
his regime. Is that the word?
I remember you saying it felt like a family radio station, and it still does.
It was weird because
community based.
Yes, exactly. Not only the team and the people that you're working with, but then you go out into the public, into the community,
and
there's people that have listened to the station for years and years and years, and they know you and they love you, and they become your friends and part of your family. Yeah, I mean, it's...
Do you still get hit up by fans today, Jomo, from the IE? Because I feel like you have to, because most of us...
Occasionally, yes, I do. And it's fun, and it's pleasurable and enjoyable, and I'm blessed.
That too.
All the above.
I'm blessed and grateful. Oh, you know, I got to tell you a story. The chef you had on.
Jessica?
Yeah. Is she related to the guy from Broken?
No.
No, okay. You brought that up in that podcast.
Yeah.
Because Ray Garcia, his dad, who is known as Grandpa Ray Garcia, is a longtime listener of Art LeBeau. Been listening to Art LeBeau since the 50s, I'm pretty sure, all through the 70s. And my whole genre, I started with Art in 95. So he's been listening to Art that long.
Wait, so the chef of Broken Spanish, his dad, you said?
Yes,
Grandpa Ray.
Was a big fan of Art LeBeau.
Still is. He called the other day to make a dedication, a 45th anniversary dedication for his wife.
That is so cool.
And he, his son Ray, he's got several sons, but son Ray has a son, and his name is Grant.
Okay.
Grant Henry. And so Grant Henry has been a fan of the show because of his Grandpa Ray, you know.
Wow.
So Grandpa Ray's bringing up the family on the good music.
Right,
yeah.
You know.
So tell me, because as long as I've known you, you have been working and very closely with Art LeBeau.
Yes.
How did you even get introduced to Art LeBeau in the first place?
Well, the first time I met him was when I worked for The Warehouse.
Okay.
There was a convention. It was Abbey Road. Abbey Road was a distributor of music.
Okay.
Like you could go directly to the record company and get in certain you know, releases.
Yeah.
And then if there's other releases that you just wanted a small quantity of, or some local artists that you wanted a small quantity, you would go to Abbey Road because they were a distributor of, they had all the record companies and then, you know, the independents. And
gotcha.
So there was a convention. They would have a convention every year, and Art Lebeau had a booth. And I went up to him and I'm like, hi, I'm Joanna. I work at the... Sorry, I'm Jomo. No, I'm...
slash Joanna, slash Jomo.
I told him I work at the warehouse in San Bernardino, and man, we just sell your product like crazy. He'll mention it on the radio, and people are like, do you have the Art Lebeau? Where's the Art Lebeau? I need the Art Lebeau. And we could sell it like box loads.
Yeah.
I mean, he had such power, so it was an honor to meet him there. But in 1991, when I was still at the warehouse, he... got a gig on 99.1 because Bob West, the program director, was like, you know, we need to have a show that's like Art Lebeau and play some oldies and, you know, do what Art Lebeau does. Yeah. And then somebody said, well, why don't we ask Art Lebeau?
Yeah. Good idea.
Yeah.
See what he's doing.
Give
me some Art Lebeau.
Yeah.
So they did, and he accepted, and they worked it all out, and he got Sunday nights. And
cause
that was
kidding.
Yeah. And,
so Art Lebeau would actually go to the station and do it live there?
Or? He would. He had a limo. He had a limo and a limo driver who some of the times...
Isn't that gangster?
I love it. Totally.
He's incredible. Yeah. I mean, he should have a limo.
Right? Yeah.
He deserves it, man. The man worked hard. He's had three careers. I mean, there was the 50s when rock and roll was just coming in.
Right.
And so that whole genre. And then there was the 70s when he owned KRLA. Mm-hmm. And that's he took that station from like 80th to number one. I mean, whoop, just made that station the happening thing in town.
Yeah.
And then there was 1991 when he took 99.1 and that Sunday show.
I remember the Sunday nights.
It's been on ever since, and that's his third career.
So did you know? I didn't know that. I didn't know that that Sunday night show started at originally 99.1.
Yes, that was
live.
The first. And then right after that, he figured out a way to, he had to record the show. And then a driver would take that tape, that hour, and drive it out to Palm Springs, and they would put it on the air. And then another drive, I don't know, they kept doing that where the tapes were being driven.
Okay, yeah.
Before
the
technology. Wow, I had before to be hand delivered.
Before you could say, let's just email, we just, transfer this.
Just throw
files.
A zip line.
That's dedication to getting the word out and the music out.
What was Art Lebeau like when you first met him?
He was awesome. He was amazing. He was very nice. He was generous at that Abbey Road convention. He handed me his 4-CD cassette, Killer Oldies set. I was like, oh my God.
You know, the first time I met Art Lebeau, is such a nice, sweet gentleman. And he took a picture with me, and I was an intern for D's at the time.
Okay.
Anyway, so I took a photo with him, and he, me and producer Ruben.
That's great.
And we took a photo with
him
the first time.
Where is producer Ruben? I was hoping to meet him.
Ah!
He's not here today.
Again.
Producer Ruben, where are you? Michelle, where's Ruben?
Where's Ruben? Let's find him.
Where's Ruben today? He's like, where's Waldo? Where's Ruben?
You started working with Art Lebeau.
1995.
How did that happen?
Well, I had met him after meeting him. You know, the thing at the Abbey Road convention was very quick, and... when he joined the 99.1 staff, I was able to see him in the hallways on Sunday nights because I did some weekend shifts. And so I got to see him doing his magic. And then there was a Christmas party where he came to. And so I got to hang out with him, talk to him a little bit there, get to know him a little bit, you know, just having fun.
Yeah.
And... then, you know, years go by, whatever. And then in 1995, I get a call from him saying, I have a position available and I'd like you to apply for it.
Wow.
I'm like, okay.
You're all me?
Me? What?
What?
Really?
What was the position for?
He had lost his main salesperson.
Okay.
She was in charge of his record, in charge of the sale division of his record company.
Mm.
Now, Art Lebeau has like 10 companies.
Right.
And I learned so much by working with him, which is a whole nother podcast. But he wanted more than that at this point, though. He wanted somebody that could do that, that could handle the sales of the record company, and that somebody that could be more of his... a personal assistant, someone that could write letters for him.
Right.
You know, here, I'll tell you the letter and you type it up and send it out for me.
You should apply for this. Obviously, he likes you and he thinks that you can, you're perfect for the job.
I found out later that, I mean, Art Lebeau, I've learned since being hired by him, that he has an eye for talent.
That's awesome.
So, no, I'm just... She's like... And then knowing me from the warehouse, knowing that I had that selling retail experience.
Yeah. Right?
And I worked full-time at the warehouse at the time.
Okay.
I was a manager. It went from a college job. I worked my way up to manager. And I turned down full-time radio jobs because I was making more money doing retail.
And so that, that makes total sense, by the way.
Right. Because, yeah. I love radio and I want to work full-time, but yeah. I need to pay my bills.
Right.
So I'm staying with the retail. And then at some point I got sick of doing the retail. Well, when Art LeBeau came to me and I was like, I was very nervous because I had dreams. You know, you have to have dreams and goals. And so my dream was to work in the music industry any way that I could. So I accomplished that by working in retail because I was, we could listen to music all day and selling the music.
Yeah.
And but then I wanted to, after college, I was like, I want to work in radio. I want to get a full-time job. I want to have my own radio station. Mm-hmm. That was quashed once I started working for Art LeBeau, who had his own radio stations. And I realized this is a very expensive endeavor.
Yeah.
You have to pay FCC fees, first of all.
Right.
Those are exorbitant.
Yeah.
And that's just the beginning. And then, you know, your power, both for your tower and your and where your tower is, you're leasing that land or did you buy that land?
Right.
So it was like, oh, I'll just work for Art LeBeau and his radio station.
The next best thing.
Live that dream here.
So you're working with Art LeBeau, who is a legend.
A radio legend.
And I'm sure that you're still learning a thing
music
or two
legend, not just radio. I don't want to
pigeonhole
him? Pigeonhole him, because he's more than that. He's an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
He's a humanitarian. He's a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
So radio and the music industry and concerts, that is all show business.
Mm-hmm.
Show business. It's, you do a lot of show, but it's for business. It's it's a business.
Right.
And, you know, there's been lots of radio conglomerates that have taken up stations and then spit things out. You know, people lose their jobs when there's a new owner.
Yeah.
And people get all mad and upset, which is understandable. You're losing your job and you're losing it without any notice. I mean, you're just gone. Radio is like a revolving door. You never know when you're going to be shoved out.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been very lucky. I've been able to stay in the Inland Empire, Los Angeles, and not have to travel out of state or even out of Southern California to work radio.
Well, because you know that's extremely rare.
Right. And, you know, another dream, another goal was to, I want to live in L.A. Mm-hmm. I lived in San Bernardino my whole life, except for the first 7 years. And I'm like, nothing was happening in the Inland Empire back then.
Right.
You know, there was nothing. It was way before Glen Helen Amphitheater.
Right.
Which now is like the marquee place, you know, to go in San Bernardino. We used to have to drive to Los Angeles, and it was like a, you know, hour and a half drive or 2 hours sometimes, depending on what part of L.A. you go to. My college roommate and I went for Tommy Burgers one time.
Oh,
let's go to Tommy Burgers Rampart. Here we go.
Tommy.
That sounds amazing right now.
Chili really cheese, everything.
Is there one in Ontario?
Yes, there is.
It's not the same. It's not the same. I want to stand up eating the burger.
I'll take it.
Yeah, so you saw the market grow. You grew with it, but you're also working with somebody who is by far above and beyond, and so you're learning a lot.
Yes.
You're taking in everything.
Yes. And I was able to learn all about music publishing and music licensing because of his albums, which were mostly compilations at that point. So I also have executive producer credits on the Art LeBeau compilations.
That's awesome.
Compilations.
Ooh, we're going to look for her name.
Yeah, you can Google me. Art LeBeau has a saying where his reality has surpassed any dreams that he's ever had because of everything he's been able to do and everything he's accomplished in his own life and in his own careers. And he's a self-made millionaire. He came from nothing, when a nickel to buy a loaf of bread was a lot of money. That was a lot of money. We can't spend 10 cents on the cereal. We got to get the bread.
Yeah. Right.
So we can't be doing that. So, you know, I mean, he comes from very humble beginnings, and he's a very humble man because he's a self-made millionaire, but yet he's that kid from, you know, back when he grew up in Utah.
You've worked with him for a long time now. So what do you think it is, or what do you think he has that made him successful, or that has gave him that mindset?
Determination. He has a lot of determination.
Nice.
He won't let what people have to say about him get him down or stop him from conquering what he's set out to do.
Okay. Mm.
But very humble, because he's just a great guy.
Yeah.
Great guy, and so generous.
So, Joma, I want to take it back to you for a second, because I want to talk about you and 99.1.
Okay, back to 99.1, yeah. I mean, that's a heritage station, and it's been through many different phases.
What did you enjoy most about 99.1?
Gosh, I mean, the people, the excitement of being able to go and be on the radio and have fun and realize that you could be talking to anybody, somebody just in their office, doing homework, or at work, doing their thing,
yeah.
You're kind of in the background, or someone that's, they're having a family barbecue and they got your radio on. Here's the story, Mike Medina. Do you remember Mike
yes.
Medina? He
so
was
talented.
On 99.1 for a long, long, long time. And he came, I mean, I was on the radio way before him. In fact, he told me one time, we have videotapes, Jomo, where we're having Christmas, we're unwrapping the gifts, and we have 99.1 on, and you're on the radio, and you know, you're playing the music on Christmas morning as we're opening our presents. I was like, oh my God.
Oh, that's awesome. That's a good
awesome.
Memory.
That's a great memory, right?
Mike Medina, I always thought, was so talented.
Major.
I remember Mike Medina.
He's like you. He's like, he exudes radio and does it, and he used to make the imaging on 99.1.
Yes, right.
Mm. You know, all the sweepers, the little
99.1. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That guy. He did all that and commercials and on air. He's a multi-talent because he could do it all, you know. And that's another thing about 99.1. You could do as much as you wanted to do.
Yeah.
And they, you know, sometimes they want, like Casey, they wanted you to do something that you didn't even imagine yourself doing. But okay, I'll do promotions, sure.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I feel blessed because, you know, it's the matter of a totem pole type thing,
yeah.
Where you've got the important people at the top, like Rydzak, or when I first, maybe Brian White was the general manager at the time, but he was also on air, did afternoons. So he was the very first, and then there was, you know, many throughout the years, some I remember, some I don't, but people ask me, how is it that you stayed at 99.1 for so long?
Uh-huh.
I said, well, I mean, there's the totem pole, and I'm so low on the totem pole because I did weekends and fill-ins.
What,
so
do you, fond memories of 99.1 KGGI's nightclub, because we were talking about Margarita Beach when I hosted
yep.
that. And what were some of the your favorite events or clubs that you were a part of at 99.1?
Well, let's see. Early memories would be like Club Metro.
Okay.
Woo! That was one of the biggest.
Did you go to that, Michelle?
Of course I did. If you didn't live in the IE and go to Club Metro, you've never lived.
You didn't know what was happening.
Was Club Metro that wild and fun and crazy as
yes.
it was? Really?
Yes.
99.1 has been around so long that it's seen stations come and try to take them on and bring
right.
them down, and then they end up going down. They're
yeah.
gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good try, dude. See you later.
Yeah, yeah.
A few years ago, like 10, whatever, I can't, after you left, but early 2000s, or 2010s, let's say, Old School 104.7 came on the air.
Okay.
And they put Art LeBeau, they came to Art LeBeau.
Oh, yes.
And
I
said, hey,
yeah.
we'd yeah. like to run your show. Is it available for weeknights? Can we do this? We're like, yeah, sure. So Art LeBeau goes on and he does this intro video. Art LeBeau, Inland Empire, I'm coming back on the radio. Because it was a time when Hot 92.3, where Art became, oh my God, that station reaches like all of Southern California.
That was huge, right?
From yeah. the Valley all the way down to San Diego. I mean, it was massive. So Art.
That was the station George Lopez was doing mornings
yes,
on too, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Art was on there for a long, long time and got, you know, so many listeners there. And then they changed format. And then yeah. radio, they changed format. Everybody goes. And mm-hmm. Art LeBeau was let go. And mm-hmm. so we're like, oh, we have to find another station. So we found K-Day, but they only mm-hmm. wanted us on Sundays.
Right.
So Old School 104.7 was like, well, we'll take the weekdays. Can we have the weekdays? We want to put Art LeBeau on our station, please.
Yeah.
So we did that. And so, like, after a few months, Mark Thomas comes to me and says, work for Art LeBeau still? Yes, I do. Okay, because he's on Old School 104.7, which is our biggest competitor right now.
Mm-hmm.
So this may be a conflict of interest. I'm like, what? No, I keep it private. You know, I don't go divulging anybody's secrets. I don't even
yeah.
know. I don't even talk to old school 104.7 other than to have them sign the affiliate contract to put the show on the air. That's about all the interaction we have with them. He goes, yeah, but it could be a conflict of interest. So I had to retire 99.1 because it was like, do I choose Art LeBeau full-time benefits or do I choose 99.1 part-time?
Part-time. That must have been tough, though, because you were at 99.1 for such a long time.
Such a long time. Yeah, a long time. I'm blessed. I was like I said, I started at 99.1, worked my way up to being on the air on like overnights, and then got a full-time radio job, the KQLH, went there for a couple years, then came back to 99.1 because Cliff Roberts became the program director and called me up and said, hey, I've got a part-time radio position open part-time on 99.1. You want to come over? Yeah. I'm like, oh, my God. What? Oh, my God. This is so cool. It's only part-time, but yeah, I can work my way to full-time maybe. So I did leave KQLH full-time to go work because then I had the 99, the warehouse job where I could keep going. And
you know, it's amazing, though, how much experience you got working at the warehouse.
No kidding. No kidding. Retail. I mean, it's a big, I mean, marketing and sales and.
Art LeBeau looked at that experience like legit, like, okay.
Totally.
You have,
He was like, this is a good resume sell because you're going to sell my oldies but goodies.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay, let's do it. And just like I said, I was so low on the totem pole. I was on the grass. I wasn't even on the totem pole. I was on the grass. So nobody,
Sometimes it's the safest down there in the grass.
Right. Sometimes it is.
It's said and said and said. It's sometimes it's not what you know, it's who you know.
Right, mm-hmm. right.
Because I knew Art LeBeau, because I had met him.
Yeah.
And he knew of me. He offered me a job because I was nervous. Because when I, at 95, I was like, I've been working at the warehouse and he wants me to work in L.A. at the Hollywood. I've been living in San Bernardino. I can't believe this. This is like a dream come true. I'm going to L.A.
Yeah.
So I said, you know, I'm going to think about it. So you can interview your other candidates and...
So you didn't say yeah right away.
Not right away because I was nervous. Like, this is a big jump. It's like I'm leaving my full-time job for something I don't even know, but I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
It sounds great. It's Hollywood. What am I going to do? I commuted for the first 2 years.
Oh, my goodness.
But my hours were like off drive time. So I was over 10 to 7.
Yeah.
So I, you know, would be after rush hour morning traffic and after evening traffic coming home.
That's good.
Yeah. So, and then it was like, you know, I'm working in Hollywood. What's happening at the Roxy? What's happening at the Whiskey A Go Go? Let's see what's happening.
The best places.
Jomo, let me just say, we're living in Hollywood. It just changes everything. It changes everything.
There's something going on every night, something going on in Hollywood.
Or
the LA area, LA.
I lived in the most beautiful neighborhood.
I lived in Los
Angeles. In the world.
You did too?
Yeah.
Well, oh my gosh.
Yes. Over there, a fountain and... that street. I love living there. It was great.
So he talks about it all the time.
Between Hillhurst and Vermont.
Okay, yes.
Right behind the gas station.
You could walk up to the Greek
Theater. It's a beautiful city.
It is
a beautiful city.
It really is. And living in Los Feliz was great because you're kind of tucked away from Hollywood, so you're not in the middle of the madness,
like
but
it.
You're so close to it that you can hop onto Hollywood at any point. Obvious question, but did your life drastically change living and working in Hollywood?
Yeah. Yes, because I was like, I am living a dream. I'm living a dream.
People come to California to live in Hollywood and make it in Hollywood, right?
Yeah.
Right? I'm working for a radio god for his multiple companies. Mm-hmm. I'm working in music. I'm working for his record company. I'm working for his radio show. I'm living in Los Angeles. I'm living in Hollywood.
I'm assuming you're meeting a lot of people, too.
Art would take us to, in my early days, he would go to the American Music Awards every year.
That's awesome.
So he would take us to the American Music Awards.
And what an experience,
he had,
right?
Great.
You know, when I first started working for him, he had mentioned that he was good friends with Dick Clark. And I'm like, yeah, right. And sure enough, he takes us to the American Music Awards and we go backstage. We're at the after party.
No kidding.
And Dick Clark comes from way over on the other side of this party. Through the crowd, turning people down for photographs. I'm sorry, not that, but right back. I got to get to Art LeBeau. He gets Art LeBeau and he takes him and he kisses him right on the mouth. I'm like, I guess you know our Dick Clark.
You're good friends. I see that.
That is epic.
So,
oh my goodness.
Yeah. So there was those moments.
So did you ever get to meet Sonny and Cher?
Yes,
that's
yes.
A great
several
question.
Times.
Well, hold on.
Yes.
Take
not,
us back to that.
Not well, not together.
Right.
Okay.
I was in one instance though where they were together. This was when his oldest daughter opened a restaurant in Santa Monica, mm-hmm. and I knew Sonny was going to be there. And so this is like the grand opening. And I knew Sonny was going to be there. So I went and I was like, I can't believe I am here.
Yeah.
Sonny Bono's just in the other mm-hmm. room. I have to go to the bathroom and compose myself. Oh, my God. I can't yeah. believe this. He's right there.
Right.
So I go to the bathroom. And when I open the door, Cher is standing right there. Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
This is crazy.
No,
I can't believe
kidding.
It.
Oh, no. You didn't pass out, did you?
Almost. Should I go back in the bathroom and compose myself again? Oh, my God.
What did you say?
I was like a freaking fly on the wall. I was like, I don't know what's going to come out of my mouth. Yeah. I don't know. I can't.
That's when you lose your voice.
Ooh. So I just like just watched everything happen.
That's wonderful. Right.
But in your mind, you know, do you sometimes wish or feel like I'm having the most incredible experience right now? And if I go and verbally tell somebody, they won't believe me or they won't feel the magnitude of what
right.
it was.
Right. It could ruin the... You know how sometimes they say don't meet your heroes because they could disappoint you.
Mm-hmm.
But here's another Cher story. When one time I was at the MTV Music Awards. Yeah, MTV Video Music Awards. I got to go to those several years in a row.
That's great.
And one time I was backstage and they were bringing her on. It was her. No, she was coming off stage. She was coming. I guess she presented or something. And Cher's coming off stage. And I had a photo of the Norman Shee photo. That is one of my absolute favorites with the long black hair. And it's a black and white photo. Mm. And she's in jeans and black top.
Let me
it's iconic. You could probably pull it up. Norman Shee.
Is this it right here?
Look at that. Yeah!
Oh, my gosh.
Yes. Yes. That's from one of my favorite Cher albums, which is the Stars album. I had this
picture.
Photo. I had this 8x10. And I wanted her to sign it. And I wanted to say I'm the biggest Cher fan. But yeah. It came out all backwards. I was like... Cher fan, biggest eye. And she said, everybody's a Cher fan. And then she went on, after she signed, went on. Paulette was with her, her best friend, who goes on tour with her and everything. She said, look, Paulette, this is the Pope photo. I was like, oh, my gosh, she likes this photo. I can't believe it. She's going to sign it.
Ah. Wow.
So, yeah, that and... That was another moment, my Cher moment. And so I've met her several times, like that quickly. I mean,
that's amazing.
Okay. So I guess my next question is: was there ever a conversation that anything memorable that you actually had some time to talk to her?
No, it's always been so quick.
Right.
It's always been
right.
Yeah. One time, her and Rob were there. It was when she was with Rob Camilletti. They were backstage getting ready. She was getting ready to go on and present or perform, and I was just gushing. You know, I'm like, I love your new album. It's a great album. I can't wait to see you in concert. Blah, 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 blah. I'm sure she's going in one ear and out the other. She's like, I gotta go on stage. I don't need to be
right.
Security.
Like, who's this lady?
You know, well, your Cher is my Morrissey.
Right.
And but I've never met Morrissey.
You haven't met him yet?
No.
We have to make this work.
He's a
right?
tough one. He's a tough
yeah,
one because he doesn't like to be you know at awards or he doesn't like to be a. You know, he's
sometimes he doesn't even show up to his own shows. So, you know, there's that.
That is true.
So how are you going to get him to show up to anything else? I don't know.
You lived in Hollywood. When or why did you move back to the IE? Or how did that happen?
Like I started to say earlier, after decades and decades of living in Hollywood, art got just kind of tired of it. It was becoming kind of a mean place. There was lots of homeless, young homeless that were... belligerent.
Mm-hmm. So the house in Hollywood, it's still there? He still has it?
Up in the hills, yeah. He doesn't want to let go of it.
Yeah.
So it was difficult for him, but, you know, he wanted to make that change, and I think, you know, you work all your life. You want to retire in Palm Springs, go for it, dude.
Right.
Okay. A lot of people do that.
Yeah.
They retire in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Hollywood's a bit much. It could be a bit, if for long enough, you know, you get to the point where you're like, all right, I did it. Now I'm ready to.
Yeah, exactly. Art LeBeau did it like 100 times.
Well, Hollywood was, Palm Springs is like the mini Hollywood for celebrities.
It is nowadays.
It's the low-key Hollywood.
Gotcha.
Yeah. It's always been.
Right.
Yeah.
There's
right.
a picture of me with Art LeBeau and the crew. That was at one of his shows, I think, at the Glen Helen Pavilion or the...
That's great.
What do they call it now? The San Manuel Pavilion?
It's the Glen Helen Pavilion. Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
It's gone through many names.
Yeah, San Manuel.
Yeah.
It's been a whole bunch of...
Yeah. ODM. See, like like Art LeBeau. Jesse Duran also has an eye for talent. I mean, he hired you.
Yeah.
He went to ODM, who was a singer, artist, musician, and said, hey, you want to do radio? And offered him a job and kept me on, never fired me.
Right. Maybe this is a bad observation, but it's an observation. I feel like radio is a male-dominated market. How does it feel how did it feel being the female important in that industry? Did you get treated differently? Did you have any challenges?
I didn't sense that or feel that.
That's
personally
good.
To be honest with you, maybe because of my position, I always felt respected, and I'm sure that does exist, and I'm sure that well, you know what, I have, because I sense that I, in certain positions, I won't say which ones, I have felt that I could go further in the company, but because I'm a woman, a man was would be chosen over me,
right,
or be shown more. It has happened. But I didn't let it get me down. I'm like,
sure,
this wasn't the time.
Right.
I'll just keep doing what I'm doing. Excuse me. I'll just keep doing. No mute button.
Yeah, no. I got to get one of those.
We can edit everything out. Don't worry about it. Anything that you want us
That's
to.
That's the great thing about podcasts.
I'll
edit it and make
edit
it sound
it all
great.
Out. And it sounds like it's one continuous. Yep.
Take out the ums and the ahs.
Exactly.
No
dead,
what were we
no dead silence or any of that. Dead air.
What was the one trial and tribulation for you, Jomo, that you overcame, that you learned and you overcame? Or what was the hardest thing that you had to experience in your career, whether it was in the industry with Art LeBeau or in radio in 99.1? What was the one hurdle that you really had to work hard to get over?
That's a good question. Something internally, because I'm kind of an introverted extrovert or an extroverted introvert, however you want to say it, kind of shy, but sometimes can be very...
A lot of us are like that.
Boisterous and loud, and calm it down, bring it down a little bit. So going out in public, like the 99.1 remote things, going on stage and having to introduce an act... I've had the honor of being on stage at Art LeBeau's concerts, and it's just like, I can't believe this. my head's going to explode. And then meeting people, you know, it's like I'd rather just sit in a room by myself behind the microphone pretending I'm talking to somebody that and we're having a party and we got the jams on 99.1 KTGI kind of thing. Like I think you mentioned in one of the podcasts. Going out in public is challenging.
Yeah.
If it's not natural to you,
right.
If it's not something that day you want to do. I don't feel like going out and being in front of 100 people right now, but I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
I'm going to go out there. I'm going to shake the hands. I'm going to kiss the babies. I'm going to be there for the station and the community. I'm going to do it.
Got to be a politician.
And that's how you endure the station. You go out there and meet the people that have been on the other side of the microphone, been listening to the station.
Yeah.
Jomo, you have a music soul. I know that. And because we follow
everything
each other.
Everything leads to a song. Everything
Instagram
leads to music.
Instagram, too. You, I want to talk about current music and the current industry today. What are some artists that you are that you're passionate about, that you like, that
right
you're
now?
Listening to? Yeah,
my
right now.
My all-time favorite right now?
Yes.
Oh, my God. I can't wait. Life is Beautiful. I got my ticket to go see Billie Eilish.
I knew it.
Ooh, that's good. Okay, Cher likes Billie Eilish.
That's
too.
Probably a great concert.
Oh my God. And then I had tickets for last year.
When they got canceled.
Yes. I'm like, oh God.
We were talking about that. We miss our concerts.
I know.
Because I was a little late. I wasn't on the Billie Eilish train right when it took off. I kind of like my roommate is a vocal instructor, and her kids would bring her songs and say, I want to sing this song.
Yeah.
And a couple of them were Billie Eilish. And I'm like, oh, who is this talent here that I'm listening to these young kids singing? I like this. So I started listening to Billie Eilish. I'm like, wow, this young girl is very talented.
Very.
Phineas. Oh my God.
Oh, yeah.
I got to mention Phineas on his own with her and on his own. He's a musical genius.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He is so deserving of those Grammys and producing all that.
Right.
He, you know, it's been in the documentary. He says, I'm going to make you a pop star. Oh, my God. He went above and beyond that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because he lives, breathes eats, sleeps music.
Yes.
He is all about it.
Yeah.
I mean, and he is so talented. So I love him. An artist that we had last concert, thank you, pandemic, in 2019, Alan Beck, who we team with for the Glen Helen Amphitheater concerts, he had wanted to put this band on a show of his, you know, one of his shows, because he does other concerts, obviously. He does freestyle concerts and other oldies concerts, and we do the Chicano Soul Legends with him, and he had this group that he wanted to put on, and he thought, oh my God, this group would be good for the Art LeBeau show. Mm-hmm. Let me pass it by Art and see if he will go for it. And sure enough, Duran Jones and the Indications were kind of our headliner. They were our special guests, 2019. Mm-hmm. And so Alan introduced me to them, and then when they came out, I got their first two albums and listened to them, and they have that oldies soul feel, but they're a current band.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, they're today, and they're very talented, and they're great songwriters and musicians. But they have that old soul feel.
That's awesome.
So you know, I got to meet them and hang out with them, and now I'm all about them. I went to see them at Pappy and Harriet's, and I'm going to see them. They're coming. All these concerts in my mind is blown. We're out of the pandemic.
It's coming back.
The live shows are coming back.
You know, me and my cousin Dayton were at Coachella. Mm. Lo and behold. I read some
Oh, you were there.
That was really cool. That was the year the Chili Peppers were headlining, I believe.
Ooh.
What's next for you? What do you want to do?
Whatever Art LeBeau wants me to do. I mean, I'm there for the long haul. I've been
That's awesome.
26 years?
Wow.
Yeah.
Tell him we love him.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Yeah. I've listened to him since at least the 90s the time.
Right on.
Mm-hmm. 99.1. Well, 99.1, the late night shows.
Right.
I've listened to every dedication to from everywhere. People were calling in from everywhere.
Wait, hold on.
And then that's the thing about our... Go ahead. He's able to connect, you know, through the grace of radio and being able to go into many different markets at the same time, syndication. Basically, he's able to connect people from all over the world.
Yes.
Sometimes, I mean, we get calls, letters from like Korea, and Saudi Arabia, where guys are stationed.
Did he ever fly out and do a tour, or any like? Did he ever like do any meet and greets or anything like that?
Oh, sure, yeah. I mean,
that's awesome.
For the longest time, you know, when I first started with him in 95, he hadn't done concerts in a long, long time. He used to do them like in the 50s and the 60s, and then I'm sure did them in the 70s. But during the 80s, he was really concentrating on the record company. The record company was thriving and flourishing. Mm-hmm. He was putting out all these but goodies and Dedicated to Yous and all these albums. And so he was really about the record company. He still had a radio show, but it was very part-time. And when I started with him, he said... that was one of his bucket lists. I want to do concerts again.
Yeah.
He said it for years and years. We're going to do concerts again. Okay, Art LeBeau, whenever you want to do them, let's do them.
I've been to them.
Yeah, and, right, yeah. We all have,
But it took many years. It took actually over a decade. Finally, when he was on Hot 92.3, the promotion, Eileen Woodbury?
Yeah.
Yes. Eileen got the idea, let's get Art LeBeau and put his name on one of our concerts, and we'll team with Live Nation because that's who runs the shows there at Glen Helen Amphitheater.
Right. Right.
And we'll put on an Art LeBeau show. We'll do what the radio show comes alive. And, and so her idea spawned what has become an annual tradition.
Let's talk about some of the stuff we got. We got some gifts.
Tell us what we got, Michelle.
We have some t-shirts, the Art LeBeau Show Live. Oh, let's show the camera. Show the camera.
Michelle bought one for
That's awesome.
Freddie, one for Ruben.
Freddie got a poster, the Oldies But Goodies poster, and we have some signed pictures.
That's epic.
Oh, my gosh.
That is so freaking cool.
I love, love, love
Check out that. Before we conclude, Jomo, I wanted to, because I know you have a lot of stories with the industry.
I have so many stories. We can do 100 podcasts.
Yeah.
We would love to have you back.
We would love to have you back. But was there anything I should have touched base on today that you wanted to share before we end the show? Is there anything?
Share.
No pun intended.
I knew that when I said that, and I'm like, Well, Jomo, it has been a pleasure, and promise me that you will come back because I
will. You have me back, I'll be back.
We call them stuff. Frequent flyers.
On Radio Flyer. Frequent flyers on Radio Flyer.
And I would love for you to be
I'll
a frequent flyer.
I'll join the club. Thank you. It's such an honor. I'm blessed. Like I said, I've been living my dreams, and my reality is, like Art LeBeau says, is far beyond anything I could have dreamt, really. And I'm continuing to dream because I want to do many more things. You know, you got to always have dreams.
Always
have dreams. So, I mean, look at you accomplishing your dream, building your own studio. And
thank you, Jomo.
Doing your own podcast and being accomplished in radio. And
It's hard to, when you do something that you've loved, it's hard to stop.
And
you know?
It's hard to say that it's work, right? I mean,
yeah.
I'm just very blessed, and I want to say thank you to all of the people that I've ever worked with at 99.1. It's a whole nother podcast to name them all.
Sure.
But I've worked with so many talented people, and then Art LeBeau himself, working with him and his business partner Dale Berger, who started about a month after me.
It's amazing, and I find it so awesome that Art LeBeau has surrounded himself with such a talented and loyal, smart people.
Like I said, he knows how to pick talent up.
He does.
Oh, I don't. All
so,
right.
Well, then, thank you.
Jomo, thank you for
Michelle,
being here.
Nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
And first time on the show, but she promised us that she's going to be a frequent flyer.
I hope so.
Let's give it up for Jomo.
Yay.
Thank you. Guys.
We're so
thank you for driving all
you.
The way out here from Public, because I know there's
far.
A lot of traffic, so, and it's a hot day today.
It's hot. We're on fire.
Jomo, how can we get a hold of you? Social media, contacts, any of it?
Oh, thank you. I don't spend a lot of time on social media, but I am on Instagram, which is my favorite at the moment.
Yes.
Which is Radio Jomo.
Radio
I
Jomo.
I love the radio so much. I put the radio in the Jomo.
Love
so
it.
That's my handle there.
All right, Jomo, thank you for being here, and thank you for being a part of Radio
Flyer.
Thank you.
Thank you, Captain.